Speak it out and sing it loud.
Speak it out and sing it loud.
Let's get started.
Welcome to Speak It Out and Sing It Loud on Adelante with Arlene. I'm your host, Arlene. Most of you know that I am a woman of faith. I am a Christian. Most of you know me also as a freestyle singer of the 80s. It was prior to my becoming a Christian. And most of you already know that Speak It Out, Sing It Loud is where I bring my friends of old and my friends of new. Today, I have a guest. A guest who will share his story. One that I have not heard fully as of yet. In hopes for you to have a better understanding of what some of us go through in life. So without further ado, let's bring him on. Well, here is my friend, Brian Michael Diaz. Brian, welcome to Speak It Out, Sing It Loud on Adelante with Arlene. How are you doing?
Arlene, it's so good to see you. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm so excited. It's long overdue.
Yes.
Hello, everybody.
Yes. And I wanted to brief everybody and say that Brian and I first met online through Facebook. I was doing the My Thoughts segment that you can find on Adelante with Arlene's playlist. And he would follow me, right? How did you come about them? Through Facebook?
My goodness. It was such a long time ago. It's hard to remember last week, girl. But I think we ran into each other through Facebook or through like a mutual friend. Mm-hmm. And then I saw, you know, you were posting your channel and your stuff, and you have such a gift.
Thank you.
You know, for words and for inspiration. And just at that time, it was just hitting home, whatever you were saying, whatever you were posting. And I was just like, wow, you know, she has a gift. And I think at some point I direct messaged you and just, you know, said thank you and just told you how wonderful your words were. And I think that's where we started our friendship many moons ago.
I, you know what stood with me? One day you wrote to me and you said, oh, can you give us more? Because you make me feel like sitting on a chair, comfy chair with a cup of coffee. You said that. Mm-hmm. And that really lit up something in me. But it wasn't until 10 years later that I was able, because we all have our journeys in life and we all have our ups and our downs. And I wasn't able to, I didn't feel quite inspired. So I am so grateful to have you on today. As a matter of fact, Brian sang at my wedding.
That's when I first met him
face to face, and he did a phenomenal job. And we'll talk about that music a little later. So Brian, what you've been up to? You were in Orlando. Where are you now?
I am in the Chicagoland area. So we relocated in May.
Okay.
So it was something that was a long time coming. You know, we had kind of felt like we had already lived out the purpose God had for us in, you know, in Florida. And, you know, we just kind of wanted to be back home, but the timing just never really worked out. So as we all know, you know, God's timing is perfect. So when he wants something to happen, it's going to happen. And, you know, the dots and the T's crossed and everything worked out. And May we finally came back. We just had our first, you know, snow and, you know, I've been locked in for like the last day because it was just really bad out there. So I know most people who are up here all the time are probably like, but I love it. I really
do. How long were you away from Chicago?
11 years.
Wow.
11 years.
So,
I went to Florida just to do, you know, to handle some stuff for my dad's estate at the time. And it just turned into an 11-year project, which is fine, you know, because it was wonderful. I had a lot of great experiences and some that weren't so great, but, you know, that's part of life. And you learn and you live and you move on. You know, you get what you get from the experiences and you just move on.
I lived in Chicago for music. I was there living for maybe 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. I found the people to be fabulous. I lived in the suburbs, though. Mm-hmm. And I found everybody to be so great. I have wonderful friends out there. I like the diversity because it reminded me of New York because of that, you know. So when I sat at a table in New York, in Chicago, in Chi-Town, it was a Korean with my friend that was Polish, the DJ, with my friend that was Mexican. I mean, we had a wonderful Italian array of friends that we all hung out together. And I love that experience I had in Chi-Town. Now, the only thing I don't like about Chi-Town, which you're probably going to know what I'm going to say, is that it gets cold way way too fast for me, faster than New York, and it snows super early. It was snowing in October. Yeah. In New York, you don't see that snowstorm till my birthday around December, you know? So it was too much for me. It was too much for me, you know? So when you and I, Brian, were talking just a little bit, you know, through text, I had come across something you posted on Facebook, which got put in my heart that you had gone through something, you had walked through something, and you had come to a good place, even though, you know, you had made it like you're doing now a transition, but it was tough. So do you want to share anything? Start wherever you want to start about wherever you want to start.
Oh, I'm assuming it's about my recent transition this year.
Yes.
I mean, basically what had happened was, you know, like I said earlier, I kind of went to Florida to handle some stuff for my father. And then it turned into my musical journey, which started in 2010. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really tough out there for independent artists. You know this. It's really, really tough. So you have to basically be your own team. And for a long time, it was just me kind of pushing my project by myself. And then, you know, little by little, you meet people who kind of become part of the process. And because our industry is not as stable as it once was, you know, we don't have these multinational companies backing us up and finances. And, you know, you have to do things yourself. And sometimes you have to go back to work. You got to pay the bills. You know, so I found myself in some experiences that I thank God, you know, they gave me a roof over my head and clothes and, you know, food and everything. But I just found myself involved with certain individuals, certain situations that just kind of became toxic. Some were musical, some were, you know, from work. And I feel like it just really did a number on my heart, on my spirit, on my soul. And I think I just got used to just being this person who could just handle everything. And I was just like, it's fine. I'll just keep dealing with it. I became the person who didn't know how to say no, you know, just keep throwing it on me. I'll be fine. And I think when we finally moved, I mean, the pandemic was really the turn of events. I always felt like nothing, unless it was something cataclysmic, I was not going to get out of this toxic situation that I was in, like this recycled negativity. And that's exactly what happened. Here comes the pandemic, and it took me out of the situation finally. But in getting out of there and coming back home, I started to feel the aftermath of years of this toxic behavior that I was allowing myself to be involved in. And I'm sure I played my part in it too. You know, no one's perfect. And I just started to feel the physical manifestations of said toxicity. So stress, anxiety, that was manifesting, you know, through my body that I had never experienced before. Thank God and, you know, and the saints, I've never had any health issues before this year. You know, take an antibiotic if I had a cold or, you know, my vitamins or whatever. But like this year has been a huge challenge for my physical and mental health. And it has to be, you know, from that, you know, my body finally just gave out and was just like, okay, you need to stop. And now it's time to take care of yourself.
When you say toxic, you don't, you know, what kind of toxicity do you think was the one that entered your life that you allowed? It would be helpful to other people because God knows I know mine.
I think, you know, Arlene, I think when we want something so badly, so like your music or your dream or your passion, or whatever, I think a lot of times you just make exceptions or deal with things that you probably shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Behaviors, attitudes, things that, you know, as a person, you're like, this is not okay. I shouldn't be putting up with this. Mm-hmm. That's what I was doing. I was just putting myself in a situation to tolerate being disrespected, being taken advantage of, being looked down on. And these things just kind of just became a snowball effect. And then once I finally learned how to say no, or right. I need to do me and you need to respect that, that's when you kind of start to learn who's who in your life, you know? And it's a shame because a person who loves you, who accepts you, we'll learn how to say, you know what? It's okay. Brian's right. Or maybe Brian's not right, but let me give him this one because he's done this, this, that, and the other. And so you just kind of learn through those experiences that not everyone who says they are who they are is who they say they are.
Oh, wow, Brian. I know that all too well. Because Brian, I don't know if you know, but I started in 1984. So I was 19. And, you know, at the age of 19, there's so much you don't know, you know? Yeah. And as much as I am of a talker now, you know, I was very timid and very afraid. So therefore I also too was very, I guess vulnerable because I did have a big heart like you do. And so we're sensitive people. And I did get signed to a record company fast. I did have the entourage. I did have all that stuff. You know, I came from such a different generation, you know, where you had everything, you know, the choreographers, this, the that, the limos all the time, just that kind of life. I did have that. I did live that kind of life where there was no YouTube or Facebook where people would recognize me when I went places. But I understand I too has surrounded myself, not always knowingly, with people who might have offered, you know, to help us, but in reality, they were helping themselves and taking advantage. And till this day, I still have those that blame me for their lack of success in the group I used to be with, when really each person had their own responsibility and their own part to put into it. Yeah. So I really just basically say, you know, I too had to cut off a lot of people, and I did go through a lot of pain myself too. So I do understand that. And it took me and spiraled me into some toxic places and behaviors as well. That's why I can relate completely. I don't know your whole story, but just the fact that it's toxic, I already know that, you know, it's hard. And you have to kind of, I had to regroup myself and refine myself more than once, in my life. So I hear you. So Brian, from how did you handle it? Because we went from when you were in it to where you're at now, thank the Lord, in your new beginning. What would you share with somebody, something that might have brought you to a place, maybe a darkness, and how you pulled yourself out of it to get you where you're at today and right now?
I think, honestly, it was the pandemic. I mean, I think before the pandemic, I already felt like a glass that was already full, like it mm-hmm. was gonna overflow, where I was just done with a lot of things or a lot of people or a lot of situations. But the pandemic was such an eye opener for all of us. You know, a lot of us kept and held on to that, and we still see that now. And a lot of people act like it never happened, unfortunately. But it was just one of those things where life became so fragile, and everything was amplified because of what was happening right in front of us, where just one moment could just change your life overnight. It just put everything into perspective. And so being locked up in a house, you know, and then kind of being told, well, it's time to come back to this toxic situation and these toxic people and this toxic, you know, lifestyle. And I was like, no, I don't want to go back to that anymore. I was like, we already knew that life wasn't guaranteed, but now it was just like alarmingly obvious that it wasn't guaranteed. It's like, I'm not going to spend my life like this anymore. I've already felt the calling to get out of this. This is my chance. And the people involved, if they want to accept that and support me, great. And if they don't, then obviously they're not who they said they were. And I finally had the chance to get out of it. And
so Brian, it's funny what I'm hearing you say, which is pretty awesome. And people may not see it that way. Here was a bad situation, right? Where we were all pretty much kind of confined, you know, to our homes per se. Okay. Some forcibly because they wanted to help save our lives, you know, and save the life of others. And during that time, some of us, unfortunately, it could lead us into deep, dire depression, you know, and I'm respectful of that. I understand that. Yeah. But for some of us, it became an eye awakening moment, because it's the moment that we in life like to just, you know, keep it going. Como my show is sigue adelante. Keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. And when we are creative people, we are created, you know, and surrounded by people that, yeah, you got to keep going, you know, if not, they're going to forget about you and when you keep moving, right? But it wasn't until you were made to have to be completely still that you realized, instead of the going into the negative aspect of your life, the negative was enlightened and allowed you to see that, no, now I have the strength to say, and the choice, I always had it, but now I can say, no, this is not what I want. And that is what I would encourage other people out there. It's not easy right now. We're living in different times. I have struggled more in 2021 than I did in 2020. And the reason it happened to me was because in 2021, when they started opening up the places, I started to feel that I was being paranoid because I still wanted to be home and work from home. And I still wearing my mask, and I still was really vigilant because I still, even whether I was vaccinated or wasn't vaccinated, which I was, I still felt like I needed to live a different way right now. And I was having these thoughts in my head that would say, Arlene, get over it. come on. And I would have many friends that wanted to see me that I love, but I said, no, I cannot see you. And many of them, unfortunately, that I said I couldn't see ended up with the pandemic because they ended up being a little bit more social and took more chances in 2020 because they felt so confined, of course, you know, in the year before, whatever. I mean, they felt confined in 2020. So in 2021, they wanted to let loose. So I actually felt the opposite. In 2021, I started feeling more sad and more like I was the only one still thinking that I needed to protect myself, that I was the only one, you know what I mean? Saying, you know, wash your hands a bunch of times and, oh, no, no, don't be around without a mask. You know, I was made to feel, I felt as if though I was being so weird now because everything had opened up. So you see, you had your awakening. I was at peace 1 year, but I battled a lot. And like you said about manifesting in your body, that's what happened to me. I believe that. In 2021, because I'm still dealing with it, I had one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. And I had to pray more. I had to say, push through to do Adelante with Arlene, you know, listen to other friends of mine and their experiences and have them on my show. It's tough, my brother. It's tough out there. But we can make it. You know, we can do this. So, okay, Brian. So you ended up in Chi-Town and everything one day at a time and you're excited about it. Have you put the music aside for a moment?
Well, with everything that happened, I did have to pause everything. You know, I was like, I'm not doing shows like this. And
right.
You know, I did see a lot of indie artists and artists who had the opportunity to do like those drive-in kind of concerts, you know, where people were in their cars or certain situations, streaming, obviously. But I think the priority just kind of became the pandemic and protecting my family.
Right.
I just kind of put a complete halt on it. In coming home, you know, thank God I have started to do some shows. I think I've done maybe about four or five. And it's been wonderful. I mean, obviously it gave me some anxiety because, you know, to be with people again, it was just like, oh my God, you know, but you know, you take the precautions necessary and you do what you have to do. So I have kind of started that route to performing again, but what I want to really start working on and that I'm kind of throwing out there and speaking with people is to start working on my next, you know, project. Cause I haven't done anything in the studio in years, you know, and I feel that pull. That call to do some music. So that's where I'm at right now. You know,
do you have a whole new set of people, a new team? Help some? Are you starting to or no? Not yet.
I'm literally ground zero.
I would say this to you. I would say stay really prayerful. You know, obviously because I've had bad experiences too. You know, really bad ones. And I even had some bad ones when I started Adelante with Arlene. You know, way back then, before I even met you. Because it originated in New York. And I can tell you that when we have a vision, when we want to create, there's so many people that are going to come and want to put us in, you know, in that commercial bubble and that this is the direction you need to be going in, you know? And I think that the beautiful wonderfulness about being independent as you are now, and I am really, is to be able to take control of your vision and guard it and have the people around you that are going to jump on the bandwagon to enhance your vision, not to destroy it.
Right.
And stand by what you believe should be what you should be doing. Now, of course, we should be always subject to change and to good advice. But anybody who tries to change that in which you know so deep in your heart is the way you should be going, they should not be the people you work around with. They should just not. So after you came back to Chi-Town and you put down your music for a little bit till did you go back to the working, to work, regular job?
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to make this transition without that.
How did that feel? Because I went through something, you know, going from being known as an artist to being behind a desk. How did that feel for you?
Honestly, a lot of, you know, the perception of social media, I was just kind of trained to not put too much out there. So a lot of people thought I never went back to work. They thought I was still singing, you know? So when I came home, they were like, oh, you're coming back. What about your music? And I was like, oh, I've been working for a long time. You know, I mean, at first it kind of stung. I'm not going to lie, you know, because I wanted to be able to pay my bills with my music or to take care of my family with my music, you know, but I realized that we're in a different time now. There's only so much you can do, you know? So you kind of have to have that duality where you do both or it's kind of nothing. So coming back home and working, it was humbling because it ended up being an emergency room position. I was working in an ER, and it was only a seventh month commitment because now I'm transitioning to something else. That experience was extremely humbling. You know, the things that I saw in that short period of time, it, just, you know, from COVID to, you know, people passing away to, you know, just so many crazy things that I saw. I just had a, if I had a level of respect already for healthcare, like it's just a whole nother, you know, because I was in the administrative aspect of it, even though I dealt with every single person that was coming in the door. And I would see what was going on in these rooms. I mean, just to see that, I was just like blown away at the amazing, the care, the talent, and the advocate that these people are putting into every single patient. It was just crazy. So I think, you know, maybe a couple years ago, I would have been like, oh, I'm going back to work. And, you know, I don't want people to know that I'm working. It was one of those things where I'm grateful to be working. I'm grateful to still be here. And then to be in this industry, you know, I just felt very humbled and lucky.
Brian, it was the opposite for me. It took me so long to be able to, it took me till I came to the Lord. And even thereafter, when, you know, it's because I was so immersed for so many years in that world of music. It is all I did. It was my livelihood and successful. You know, I was successful, you know, with radio, top 10 and all the above. Now, you know, they didn't have the YouTubes. Thank God they didn't have the Facebooks and all that stuff, social media. For me, it was a journey about finding out who I was. When we link our identity to what we do, if what we do fails in any way, fails us, we may feel like we are failures, you know? But in reality, our identity should never be linked on what we do as a profession or something outside of ourselves. It should be linked in with who God created us to be. So we should be ever changing and ever evolving and ever growing people. And it does take time, but when it happens, there's a peace that happens. I miss recording like you would not believe. I was about to be part of a wonderful, very professional worship team, you know, because I did record here in Florida, but I never got the chance to really perform those new songs that are fantastic. But you know where my soul desire lies? It lies upon doing the music that I want to create, the music that tells my story now. That is what I want to do. And because of the pandemic, I can't do it right now. But I believe, like you, there's going to be a time. And we got to remember out there, whoever's listening, that society puts a stigma on us. It puts an age on us, you know? You could only succeed till this age. After this, it happens a lot to women. I could speak about my end, how you are not felt to be as beautiful. Or look at her. She has so much wrinkles now. I just turned 58, and it's something that we all look in the mirror and say to ourselves, you know, wow, I wish I looked as young as I did before, you know?
Can we discuss how amazing you look at this age? I'm just saying.
Oh, I thank you. And I thank God and my mother for good genes. That's all I can say, you know. Betty White was a great example of defying age, you know, and a woman that could be loved by the young as well as the older is incredible. She just broke every barrier that came with age, defying age, while her body, she was absolutely beautiful, did not look 99 whatsoever. It's shocking.
Yeah.
So I think she is such a big encouragement to all of us, you know, to remind us that, like you said, life is precious and you made a decision to protect yourself and to protect your family. And, you know, during this pandemic, and you still continue to protect yourself, even though you're working outside. And you also got to see a different perspective that God will want you to see on how hard the healthcare, you know, the people that the nurses, the doctors, the orderlies, the janitor, the administrative, how hard they work in these hospitals. And you were in an emergency room. You were in a place that chaos comes into at any moment.
Any moment.
And so I don't think you would have had the opportunity to really know that, and if you had not experienced it the way you did. Yeah. You know, so to anybody out there listening, I would say life is going to bring you some different twists and turns. But find the silver lining in it, in the midst of it. Find the lesson that you as an individual are supposed to learn so that you can grow and help somebody else. Because I know that whenever we experience something and we learn from it, we never forget it. Right, Brian?
Okay.
We never forget it. We never forget it. I wasn't a nice person before I came to Christ. I didn't speak to waiters. Now they call them servers. I didn't speak to them or treat them in a manner that I should have treated them. Why? Because I expected my food immediately and how I wanted it. I'm very fussy. I don't like cold food, right? Okay. But there's better ways of saying these things. So I didn't know the infrastructure of a restaurant until I had to become a servant in Chi-Town, until I got humbled me and made me a waitress while I was recording in the studio. And I never forget that now. See, I never forget that now. And I'm sure you will never forget, because of the experience you just had, what these people are going through. Recently, I went to a doctor's appointment, the many, and I was very paranoid. I mean, I use the word paranoid. She made me feel like I was being paranoid. I was basically being careful about some pens that were dirty. And I didn't want to just grab a pen that had been used before. And in many of the places in Florida, they separate clean pens, dirty pens when you're filling out things. But people here in Florida have become a little more lax now in the last year. And I was like, no, no, no. And I didn't want to touch it. She was very, very rude to me behind the front desk. And she's like, oh, 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 oh. And she just got really like, and I was feeling anxiety about my appointment. And so why I'm saying this part of it is because I learned something good from it. And you know what I learned, Brian? I learned that even though she was nasty to me, she too has her own anxieties and her own fears. And she too is under a lot of pressure while she's placing herself behind that desk every single day to work with the public and sick people that are coming in with the mask. So while she wasn't correct in the manner that she reacted towards me, I have to feel more compassion and understanding that she's placing herself in an uncomfortable situation and not doing her job without a mask in the way she used to and be free. She too, but she just didn't know how to react well to it. Right. So we have lessons to learn on either way.
Right.
And we have to be kind in the midst of this even more so pandemic that we are still under.
Yeah.
You know, I want to talk a little bit about something, if you want. It's something about the topic of bullying once we spoke on the phone. Is that something you'd like to talk about right now or share? The reason that I wanted to talk about it, Brian, is that sometimes we lose our courage to speak about something that's so freaking important and so prevalent still to this day and happening in this world, that's really going to help somebody out. You know, I watched this program called State of Mind. And the host of this YouTube is an actor named Maurice Bernard. And Maurice Bernard is Sonny on General Hospital. And I am a soap opera General Hospital fan. I've been watching it for 50 something years, like 55 years. This man, okay, has mental illness. He's an actor, Emmy award winning, okay? He brings other actors on to his show. They premiere every Sunday, the new ones. And here now, these actors are opening up about all things in life we would have never known that they've gone through or go through, whether it was bullying, whether it was sexual abuse, whether it was addiction. And I am like in shock in a good way that they are so transparent and how much they're helping me as well, you know, with being so open. And I think that this is the time and day, due to the fact that this pandemic is happening, that so many celebrities have come out and spoken about a bunch of different things in their lives that they've gone through that was so hush-hush that only a few knew. Some that still deal with anxiety, that have to have sometimes production in movies closed down for a little bit just so they can recover. I don't celebrate anybody's problems or issues or journey, but I celebrate them for being courageous enough to discuss it, to speak it, to share it, to help somebody else out and to help themselves out, because we help ourselves out when we speak about it. So if you can, please do, because boy, have we all been through something.
I have to say, you know, it's one of those things that obviously when you're going through it, being bullied or made fun of or questioned or teased or whatever, in the moment of it does feel like, you know, the end of your life, because you're just like, you can't be yourself. You can't feel free or feel safe. These are moments that started very young for me. I'm 8, 9, and they carried on probably into my mid-20s. As I grew up and as I was able to kind of manipulate some of the situations with my behavior or be a little more demure or kind of hide who I really was. You know, obviously we're speaking about my sexuality here, and my mannerisms. Then it kind of became easier to get away from being in those situations. But obviously there was still always people who weren't happy with themselves or were insecure and or uncomfortable about who I was, that they had to project that on me. But I think the saddest part is it wasn't just strangers or students in school, or, you know, it was even sometimes my own family and my own friends. And that, I think that's probably the ones that might've hurt the most, you know? But luckily over time they dissipated. Obviously things have progressed and acceptance has become more, you know, part of our everyday, but it's still something that scars you for the rest of your life, because these things happened during pivotal moments where you're, you know, developing, your brain is developing and your emotions are developing, and it just kind of stays with you. So sometimes even being 40, 41, I still feel like I'm 10, you know, and I still feel those insecurities. But I have to say, and this has been a huge blessing, because this is not the case for everybody. Those issues, I was able to project them into singing. You know, if it wasn't for those issues, I don't know that I would have sang. I don't know. I found that pull and that passion for singing and writing and all thing arts. And that's really what saved my life. You know, and obviously that was a gift from God, and obviously all these musicians and singers that have inspired me through the years, but I don't know where I would be without that. You know,
so and that was your outlet, you know. I understand. I was verbally abused, and what happened was growing up by my father. Growing up, people always made verbal abuse to seem nothing in comparison to physical abuse, because they would say, oh, you don't know what this feels like, because I get beat, I get hurt, you know, flesh. I was like, you should never compare them, because they're both abuse and they're both extremely scarring. Yeah. Minds were very emotionally and mentally scarring. They based the foundation for the rest of my life in my adulthood, and the problems that I had that people never knew when I was in my 20s, and I couldn't stay in a committed relationship because I had all this doom and gloom in my life. You know, I would set everything up for failure in many ways when it came to love. I didn't know how to be loved. So bullying, abuse, oh my God, any type of abuse. Bullying is an abuse, you know, it is detrimental. And we are blessed to have been able to survive it a day at a time, you know. And I think that when we suppress things, as I too suppressed, because I thought that the way my dad verbally abused me was normal. I truly thought that there was always some kind of fight or problems in the house, until I had a long-term relationship and his house was family. Was like they ate together at the table. That was like foreign concept for me. And I think when we are abused or bullied or made to feel less than, because we're still pretty young, we're developing, you know, in life. We just start getting this perspective about ourselves, you know? What are we supposed to be? We feel like we're supposed to be what other people want us to be and who other people want us to be. And so I'm glad that you are speaking about this, because there is a good side to it, but it is a long journey. And I think the journey is always going to be a day at a time. But I think that the freedom for me is to allow God to heal us in those areas. Yeah. When we don't allow God to heal us and we try to heal ourselves, I don't know, it becomes like the wound is still open. I think the wound can close. And I think sometimes there will be triggers, even though it's closed. But you now have the power to say to the no. You have the power to push yourself back from it. You have the power to maybe hopefully disassociate yourself from that situation, you know? Brian, you said sexuality. I wanted to make something clear. I might get emotional. Christians get also a bad rap when it comes to having friends that might be bisexual, of all different types of gay, you know? Transgender. We get a bad rap because my gay friends know that while my Christian beliefs have a certain belief system and truth that I go by, I would never, I don't abandon my friends is what I'm trying to say. And that my biggest concern for me when I minister to my friends that are of a different sexual preference is this, that they are okay. I want to know that they're okay. If they have a relationship, a man, woman, women, most of them are my male friends, and they have a relationship with another man, and you're going to tell me you're hurting, I'm going to minister to your hurt. I'm going to minister. If my friend's getting abused by another man, I'm going to tell them the same thing I would have said if they were with a woman. That's how I minister to my friends. You know, I don't minister to them and speak to them in regards to, you know, hitting them with the Bible on top of their head or whatever the case may be. I don't do that. I just show them the love that Christ would want me to show. Now, I am extremely honest. I'm going to tell you, Brian, with my friends, if asked. If my friends may say, well, I know you don't agree with this, I'll say, no, I do not agree with this, but I still love you. So, you know, I have seen a lot of hatred towards both the, you know, the community that doesn't believe in what I might believe in. I've also seen hatred towards that community, towards us as Christians. And I experienced watching it through a preacher in Canada that all he did was go outside, Brian, and speak the word of God. He didn't say, I say, seriously, he didn't. He didn't say all this stuff like we're having a conversation. He was just speaking the word of God like he does, and he evangelizes. Didn't matter where he went. So whether it was a gay community, whether straight community, whether it was this community, that community, it didn't matter. He did what he was told to do by God. He baptized with permission in the waters, and they spat in his face. So what I'm saying is, to clear out the air, there are good and bad people everywhere on both sides. Hatred is not of God, but to hate us as Christians, again, is not of God neither. Neither one is of God. So I would say that whatever you want to talk about, you can talk about freely. And I really don't care two hoots on who likes or who doesn't like, because this is your story. This is your feelings. This is your journey. And nobody should ever, can ever, they haven't walked in your shoes. I just want to clear that out. And that we must pray for all people, because our Christian people are also getting persecuted.
You're such a beautiful person, Arlene. I have to
thank
say.
Thank you.
I want to say this too for people who are, you know, judging our kind or perceiving us a certain way. It's not just one's journey that one's going through, but a lot of times people don't understand what it is to be in this predicament. So, for example, I was raised really Catholic. I was an altar boy. I was an altar boy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My first communion.
All of them, communion, confession, all the ones. I did them too.
So I was like to a T every Sunday, I was in mass and, you know, holidays. And so my mother and I and my father sometimes would go too, and my family. And so this is something that was extremely difficult. You know, I think a lot of people think that you just wake up one day and you're like, I'm going to like boys, or I'm just going to do this. And unfortunately, nowadays, that is happening. People,
yes, it is.
They're getting forward. And with the acceptance and the open-mindedness that is out there, they're just kind of doing it like just because. Which, again, everyone has their way of thinking and what they want to do. I don't necessarily, that makes me feel a certain type of way, because this was something that millions of us struggled with from a very young age, you know, and had to go through it on the heart, you know, the hard way, not just because we wanted to do it, you know. And so this was a very personal battle. Like, it was something that many times I was forcing myself to be, you know, straight, or forcing myself to do that just to people please, or yes, out of fear of God, you know. Or it took many years for me to just finally say, Brian, just breathe and just accept yourself and just be okay with it. You know, God knows that you're not doing anything to spite him or to hurt anybody or to do wrong. Like, just be yourself, you know. And I think there's just this perception that gay people are always, you know, promiscuous and just doing things just cause, and it's the case in a lot of cases, unfortunately, but not everyone's the same, you know. And you can't judge everybody just based on what you think, because everyone has a unique story, and you may be surprised. And religion and love for God and everything has a lot to do with tolerance as well. Like, everybody has their struggle and what they're going through, and love is, you know, all embracing, and we have to just all love each other. You know, if you're not doing anything to hurt anybody and you're trying to make the world a better place, that's really what it's mainly all about, you know. And so there's just a lot of ugly, there's a lot of ignorance, and I think a lot of fear of the unknown. And a lot of times people are just scared because they may be that way and they just don't know it, or they don't want to talk about it or embrace it, or that's just how they were raised. Somebody that in my life, like their spouse isn't allowed to hug men because, you know, you can only shake hands. You know, it's crazy. A lot of times it's like Oprah says, it's not necessarily what's wrong with them, it's what happened to them.
Exactly.
Kind of carries over.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. What you just said is so pivotal. What happened? We don't know a person's story. Like you just said, there are some in the community that have experienced horrendous things in their lives. Horrendous things. I know because there's someone like that in my family. And then there are others, like you said, that it's just by choice because they're bored, like you said. That's a very big difference. That's a very big difference, okay? That's very big. Okay, the Lord has still works with me and teaches me and continues to teach me how to, can I say, still love the differences in all of us. I'm not called to be the person of to condemn and the judge. I'm not called to be a judge. You know, that's God. That's not me. You know, again, love, embrace your friends, love them. I have a wonderful manager from New York that's lives in Jersey now. And we have kept in touch. He's a gay man. He's married and he's moving to Orlando. And the first person I'm so grateful he called was me, you know, because I love him, you know, I love my friend. Like, again, I told you, I may not agree in this lifestyle or that lifestyle, but isn't it really like, you may not agree on my lifestyle or my choices neither. That's the way I'm just seeing it. You know, I can't judge. Now, when you said what you said about the depravity and stuff like that, I believe that that exists in all in life. It doesn't matter if you're gay or straight. A person could be promiscuous and, you know, whatever, or they're very conservative, lovely people that, you know, have good mothers and fathers. And, you know, there is, but it goes both ways. You know, it happens in our lives too. You know, you could have, you know, excuse me for saying this, guys, but la friquitona in the house, you know, whatever, your cousin or your whatever the heck, and she's straight.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's more of, it's just that we just, I don't know. We look at the differences. We like to point out people's differences, like in a negative manner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, when I lived in New York, there was something that I never was critical about. You're going to laugh. And it's about the young people that express themselves with their fashion or their hair. Didn't bother me. You know, some people say as I got older, I was like, so what? If they want green hair, purple hair, blue hair, so what? You know what I mean? And I don't like tattoos though. But if they did that to their hair, I would say that they're just expressing themselves. And that's what I mean by this. I think that we all, and as we get older, like I'm of course older now, I have to remember my journey. How's that? My journey. I had a journey where people criticized me and judged me, my own family, who had expectations of me looking a certain way at that time when I was expressing myself at 16 with fishnet stockings, a zipper skirt, right? And my hair shaven on one side like they do now. And I've done that years ago and had little marks over here on my hair from they used to do little, you know, designs on the hair. Oh, I've been had that when I was only 16. And, you know, people judge me. They judge me by what I look like on the outside, but it was just an expression of the artist in me, yeah, in my case.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, so have you been coming to in regards to your whom you are and walking more in who you are in your identity, who you identify? If you identify, I don't know, do you identify as a gay man? Is that what you identify as? Or do you like not to put a label on it?
I you know, I kind of have a running joke. With people that I'm close to, I'll say something like I'm 99% gay, 1% straight, because there'll be that once in a while, that woman that's just like, you know.
But some men don't feel like that. Some gay friends of mine don't feel like that at all. So you just, yeah, you're being honest, really. Yeah, some of my gay, I have some that say absolutely not, you know?
Yeah, but I do associate as gay, you know, that's kind of more of like a joke for me. I'll say that, you know, because there's just women are beautiful, they are. they're beautiful, beautiful beings. And but I do associate as gay. And
so you're comfortable. You're comfortable now. You finally let some layers off and say, hey, take me as I am.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's and
a long way.
And that has happened through process, or did it happen a little bit more when you ended up in Chi-Town, or was it happening already for you?
Oh no, it's been years. I mean, officially, I mean, I came out to some family like in 2000, but I think it's something that was kind of always known or not talked about at the table, you know, where you would get those looks. You know, very young, I was like tweezing my eyebrows or, you know, certain things that I was listening to. Or
Well, you do know that my husband, all men now tweeze their eyebrows though, right?
But when I was in high school in Puerto Rico, you know, here I'm one of the only guys tweezing their eyebrows. I mean, it was a scandal.
I'm serious. I understand. Because you know that changed like maybe, I don't know, 11 years ago or something, where men started going to have, you know, their pedicures and their eyebrows. Because we women, we brought them in there. Mm-hmm. Come on, honey, you're going to get those eyebrows done.
They needed it. Lord.
Yeah, they did. My husband had bushy ones.
Unibrows.
Yeah, he had bushy ones. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I think that, you know, I see some... so much still stress and strain, even if there's a Christian person in a show, per se, a talk show, and then there's non-Christian, maybe a gay, maybe a conservative person, maybe a person who's an atheist, and you put them all in one table, and all that I see is chaos. Chaos. Nobody wants to listen to anybody. You know, I think we've just all been so... on both sides, I'm talking about Christian people the same way, like the people, you know, not my people that I surround myself with, but you know what I'm saying. No. In some arenas, it's like, I don't know. Why does everybody look at the negative? Listen, I used to go and, or it's not even negative. What we think is negative. When I used to go outside in the streets in New York City to evangelize, I think the place that I was touched the most was when I was able to go to this place called Hunts Point in the Bronx and pray for a prostitute, to be able to touch the prostitute on the shoulder and pray for a prostitute that wanted to be prayed for. That to me was life-changing. Because you just don't know. She didn't wake up one day as a little girl and say, I want to be a prostitute. You know? And I think those life experiences, and when others shared testimonies with me, whether the women were not lesbian and they decided to go with women because they had experienced some horrendous, a rape, a molestation, a sexual assault and abuse by a family member. When I was having a difficulty, Brian, I'm going to be honest, when I first got into the Lord, it's been 30 years, so this was way back then, I had a lot of conflict around me because I didn't know, you know, am I supposed to have friends that are sleeping around, you know? You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to lie. I was a little, you know, I was unknowing. Is this what God, is this right? Is this not right? I was just discovering, you know, finding my new place, you know, who I'm supposed to be a day at a time. I had a lot of problems and questions about people's sexuality. And one day, very clear to me, the Lord allowed me to find out a story about a family member that's a lesbian. And the Lord gave me information in 2003 that I never had. But yet I was being, in my heart, judgmental. And the reason I was judgmental is because I too experienced something bad with that person to my end. But God showed me that I had known nothing about the journey of that person. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And when I found out the journey of that person, my heart changed, you know? And that's the way I feel about everybody out there. I don't care if you're straight or you're gay. I don't know your journey. Who am I to judge? Now, that doesn't give people reason to be mean, rude, and sick in the brain, like some people that are, you know, those are the people that need a lot of prayer. They need help. They need therapy. Those are people that really have been afflicted so badly and just have no, they have, you know what I'm saying? Some turn to become criminals. Some, I'm talking about all kinds of people that have been through something. But I thank the Lord that people like you and I have God to help us through it a day at a time.
Girl, you better preach.
I know. I keep talking instead of letting you talk. I just want to tell you, Brian, that I love you. And just the same way it's hard sometimes for you when you have Christian friends, Christians in a way that I'm talking about, you know, I'm not saying that you don't love Christ. I'm saying, you know, Christian friends. We are learning, you know. So if anybody criticizes in front of you, somebody like myself, a Christian woman, remind them that we are not all the same. Just the way that the gay community is not all the same neither. Unfortunately, the light has been shined in the gay community or in the transgender community or, you know, all the different, you know, the one community of many, you know, they have shined the light not so good, you know, sometimes. They haven't shined it so good. They shined it as, here I am, take me as I am. Who do you think you are? You know what I'm saying? And that gets me so freaking mad some people don't want to be told what to do, but they want to tell me what to do. You see? So it goes back and forth. Mm-hmm. Let's say, for instance, this is a hot topic, and I'm not going to say what my stand is or what it isn't. Abortion or not, right? That's a big topic, right? But they spew hatred against people who are getting abortions. And my own people would hate me for saying this. You can't spew hatred because they're doing this. Yes, I don't like it. No, I would not want to. Yes, I know better now that I didn't know then in my lifetime what goes on in these places. Okay. But the hatred goes in both ways. I hear them speak horrendously to Christians and Christians horrendously to them. And I
think the main thing that the main problem, and this is with religion and politics and sexuality and so many different things, the failure that we're having as people is that we need to learn how to appreciate and respect other people's opinions and sit down and discuss them without attacking each other. Because at the end of the day, not everyone's going to be the same. Not everyone's going to feel the same. And my thought process, and it's not everybody's, is that as long as you're not hurting anybody, I'm open to it. As long as you're not doing something that's criminal, I'm open to it. I'll talk to you about it. And as long as you're not like trying to jam it down my throat, I'll talk
exactly.
to you.
Exactly.
Exactly. People that you sit down and you're just like, I can't talk to you. But if you're willing to sit down, have a cup of coffee and discuss the conversation like two mature adults, it's fine, you know? And that's unfortunately something that is extremely lacking right now. And the
Listen, it's even like... worse. Do we always have to discuss it even? Is what I mean?
Yeah, that too.
That's another thing, you know? Like, if it wasn't for this, you know, pandemic and my friends moving over here, do you think that I'm not going to invite my gay man friend with his partner, his husband? Do you think I would invite them to eat? What am I going to discuss? What is it? I'm going to discuss gay things? I mean, like, I can't have just a regular dinner and talk life? Is what I'm trying to say. It's like, I can't just have Christian friends. I have to just love people. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some people, no matter what, who they are, that I don't agree with their lifestyle in regards to maybe something that's going to put me in a place of the toxicity again in my life. You know, I can't hang out with people that drink a lot because I've been sober for 30 years. I can't hang around in a place as a married woman where there's a whole lot of very good looking men without having my husband with me, right? Let's be for real. Just because I am a Christian does not mean that I don't have to be careful and be wise sometimes in what situations I'm putting myself in. I don't have to do every show I'm invited to do. I prayerfully consider the show. Maybe I have no business being in that club. Maybe I do.
Triggers.
Yes, you know?
Those triggers, yeah.
So therefore, that's how I feel about it. Let's love each other. Let's respect each other. Let's have those conversations if we want to have them. It happens also between different denominations, in religious denominations. It happens as well. It's like we perceive this group of people to be this kind of people because a few bad seeds made it look bad for them. And therefore, I, as a Christian too, may close myself, but I have a bishop that's been all around the world, and he speaks and interacts and has discussions, conversations with men or women of other religious groups. Do they agree? No, they agree to disagree, but they listen. They listen. And they exchange, and they get to know each other, and they eat together.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Right? But if we're not comfortable, that's just us. We may not feel comfortable. It doesn't make us bad people. No. It doesn't make you a bad person. Then let's not just hang out. Let's not hang out. It is what it is. I'm not comfortable with some of my gay male friends. I'm not. I still love them, but I can't hang out with them because their lifestyle is very magnified in many areas that I don't need to have. That's not my business.
Yeah.
I don't magnify my relationship with my husband to anybody, my private times with my husband. So I don't want their lives in that area magnified to me. It's unnecessary. I don't sit around having those kind of conversations anyway. You know, that's the stuff that gets me pissed. You know what I mean? I'm like, really? Like, really? Do I sit here? Do you know what I mean? So that's why I think that some Christians are like, oh, because they've had bad experiences. Just like you and many of our friends might have had bad experiences with Christians. And Brian, it should end here, you know, and in a sense, it's one person at a time. And when I saw what they did to that pastor that was outside in the street evangelized, when I saw what that community, they put him in prison, and the laws are different in different places. And this is Canada. And he had to go on a trial for just speaking the word of God with permission, because he could do it. He had the legal right to be there speaking the word of God. You see, what was being said was the listening ears were feeling as if though they were being provoked to react, but they weren't. They had a choice not to listen. They had a choice to walk away. And that's the same choice I have, to walk away if I want to from a circumstance that I'm not comfortable with. But when hatred comes in it, that you want to imprison a believer of Christ or imprison someone of a different race or someone, then that's just hatred. That's pure hatred. And that's not of God. And I'll say it now, not all people of different gender, I want to be careful, preferences are evil. And not all Christians are judging. And I think to some degree, we all judge for a moment and we catch ourselves, or we may interpret something being said as something coming towards us as a woman, as a Puerto Rican woman, as you know, whatever we are. And I think that it's our responsibility to take hold and say, am I sensitive in that area? Was that person really trying to say something? Maybe not, right?
One of the things that my therapist and I have talked about over the last few months, we were talking about something. I think it was somebody was judging me. I think it was. And so she kind of flipped the exercise at some point. She was like, I want you to, from now until the next time we meet next week, I want you to sit down and observe yourself and see how often you judge people. And it was more than I thought. So I think that it's inside voices, though. There's a difference. A lot of us will judge internally and not say nothing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like,
and you just think to yourself, do you realize what you're saying? But I think we all judge a lot more than we think we do.
Yes, we do.
At least inside.
Brian, if I were to tell you that I haven't judged anybody, I'm a liar. Absolutely, I'm a liar. I judge my own husband. He judges me. It's the truth. What comes out of the mouth, you know? Oh, if you wouldn't have done that. Oh, well, if you wouldn't have done, you're judging me, you know? You're telling me that I made that happen because it didn't turn out right. So if you want to talk, that's one that an abuser, you know, when you're getting abused, either physically, mentally, emotionally, or bullied, the person doing the bullying or abuse of any kind always will say, if you hadn't done this, I wouldn't have done that. You know, that's such a common statement. And sometimes we grow up feeling that way. But yes, we all judge. But I think the reason that a lot of us judge, like you say, the ones like us, like you and I, that is internal, is because of the society that we've been brought up with, the culture we've been brought up with, whatever. There are cultures that are even worse, and worse in a manner that they're more conservative than we might have been as city folk, you know? And so, yeah, that's the truth. So that's why the Lord said that if anyone had not sinned or is not guilty of sinning, then, you know, go cast the first stone. When he was speaking about, you know, the prostitute, Maria Magdalena, or the adulterous woman, excuse me. It was the adulterous woman. It wasn't Maria. It was the adulterous woman. Yeah.
I want to say something too, that it was kind of multiple topics that you just kind of mentioned it again, was the importance of accepting that mental verbal abuse can be just as or greater than physical abuse. And I know this just from people that I've been close to over the years, who have had both, and they've actually told me, you know, the verbal abuse was worse than the physical one. So I think that we should be kind, a little more kind to people who are experiencing that, because words are very hurtful.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, you know that, what is it? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never, whatever, hurt me. That's a whole crock of crock. Words hurt profoundly. The words we speak, the word of God says, and have power of life and death. It says in the book of Deuteronomy, power of life and death. You can uphold a person, uplift a person, or you can tear them down. And we've all had in our culture that tearing down stuff, you know, experience. But some of us, like myself, had it on a daily basis. So you wake up early in the morning like I did, and you're a happy kid, right? And all of a sudden you have an opinion. You're discovering your voice. You may not agree with your parent, but your parent will put you down, will accuse you of doing things that you never did before, will say horrible things. And if it wasn't for the Lord, so I got to say this out there, if it wasn't for the Lord and my being in the Christ Jesus now, I would have never loved or forgiven my father as I have so wholeheartedly forgiven him for so many years. It took me probably about 7 years or more to learn, and therapy too, of course, you know, and counseling, to forgive my father. I couldn't do it without help. I couldn't do it because I now see through the eyes of Christ. I don't condone his behavior of his past, but I see the little boy that was abused by my grandfather. I learned that. I found out. I see the little boy who wanted daddy's approval, but daddy was a military man. My grandpa fought the World War when it was hard, and there was a division that he was in, Borinqueños, it was called. And my grandpa had to be in a completely Puerto Rican unit because they would not mix the Puerto Rican military men with the white military men, yet they were fighting the same war. There's so much we don't know, my brothers and sisters out there, before we close. There's so much we don't know that others have gone through. Does that excuse the abuse? No. Does that excuse their behavior? Absolutely not. But if you want to be set free, then we have to learn to pray to the Lord Jesus and to allow him to heal us a day at a time in those areas so we can be free to walk a lot healthier and not repeat those same mistakes and be mean and horrible to other people and take out things that happen to us on other people. We have to learn that. And the only way we can do that is never on our own. It isn't how many AA meetings I went to, even though they helped me and I believe in them. They helped me, but I couldn't have done it without Christ. I would have just been a dry drunk going to meetings and just thinking that I have to do 5-6 steps only, and that was it. No, I go to God because there's not always a chance that I can run out there and have a meeting. There's not always a chance that I can go call, you know, such and such a person. But you can call on the name of the Lord, and he will be your help and strengthen you. And in forgiveness, there is freedom. Now, it doesn't mean that the person that hurt you, you have to let them back in your life. There doesn't mean that. You can disconnect yourself. And if you cannot, then I pray that God will make a way that you can disconnect yourself. I pray. And that a way that he could give you the strength to be strong through it all, because he can do that. Amen?
Amen.
Anything else to say before we close?
I was just going to add this little tidbit we were talking about what we're saying now and earlier too, that sometimes what I've learned in my recent experience is sometimes when people show you who they are, you kind of have to believe them sometimes.
That's a good one. Say that again, Brian.
Sometimes
say that again.
When people show you who they are, you have to believe them. I think a lot of times we just give too many benefits of the doubt, benefits of the doubt, benefits of the doubt. And what we're ending up doing is putting ourselves in a situation that creates this snowball effect. Sometimes people just are who they are and you just have to believe them. And then you make that choice if that's what you want to deal with or not.
Yeah.
You know? I could have saved myself many years, as I'm sure you can say the same thing, you know, really step outside a situation sometimes and look at this and be like, is this something I want to associate myself with long-term? Maybe not.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, sometimes Brian, we don't know. Maybe we're young, like I was, and we don't know at that moment. We're still trying to discover ourselves, like yourself when you were young. But there's something inside of us that was always telling us that that didn't feel right.
Exactly.
And I don't mean those people that were forcibly hurt. I don't mean that.
Yeah.
I mean that environment or that friend or that relationship that you know you could have gotten out of.
Yeah.
Something inside was letting you know that that wasn't a good way to go. Or a good choice to make, or a good person to be around. And we made the choice to still stay. And later on, we may realize that we had codependent issues, low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. We discover these things. But like yourself going to therapy, I went through a lot of therapy and I studied in graduate school. I didn't finish to be a licensed clinician, to be a therapist. You know, I realized, I learned a lot about my own triggers, about life, about, being able to say no, standing up for yourself, and making better decisions, you know? And when this pandemic came, I could have been bombarded more with a lot of the negative stuff in my head, a lot of it. And this show helped save me, you know? Adelante with Arlene. Talking to other people helped save me. Getting on a FaceTime with people that I had lost touch with for 10 years, people that meant a lot to me. Those people. So if you have those people that you know that you pick up the phone and it'll be like you just spoke to them the other day, go for it.
Yeah.
Speak to them, FaceTime them, because they need you just as much as you need them. And with that said, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you so much for being open with me. You always have a friend. If you need me to speak to you, pray with you, please remember that. If I don't get back to you the same day, like you, when you work, it's only because I'm sleeping probably or working. You know? So please be patient. So I love you. Thank you. I am glad.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Yes, that you have your new journey. That you're in your home now, like you said, this is home for you. And just expect great things, you know, to continue to happen. And when some person that's ignorant comes around, you just brush it off, because life is life and such will be life. But how we react will say it all and help us. God bless you. And as I say at the end of every podcast and every video, sigue adelante. Until next time. I am so grateful that I had my friend Brian on this Speak It Out, Sing It Loud segment. I pray that anything he said might have enlightened you or allowed you to become more sensitive to others who have experienced any type of bullying or any type of abuse, verbally, physically, mentally. And I pray that we will learn how to love each other and our differences with the love of Christ. Now, that comes from both sides. And I am hoping that today's segment has given you food for thought. Thank you for tuning in to Speak It Out and Sing It Loud. You never know what we're going to speak about on Speak It Out and Sing It Loud. You are watching Speak It Out and Sing It Loud on Adelante with Arlene. Adelante.